Lord, I'm glad to be here tonight. I feel good in my soul, singing the songs we've been singing, feeling the presence of the Lord. I'm glad to be saved, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. There's no greater thing in this world we can say than we're saved. Amen? There's nothing better in this world to be able to say than to know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Amen. I'm glad I know that I'm saved tonight, and it's good to be here with you tonight. Good to see you. It's been a while since I've seen some. I had to get reacquainted, but it's just a privilege for me to be here and to fill the pulpit for Brother Shad while he's away. I count it a great honor. I really do. Brother Shad's been a dear friend of mine for a long time, his family, and it's just an honor for me to be here with you. And I want the Lord to have his way, don't you? Amen. There's a lot of things that can be preached. There's a lot of things that can be said. But if it's not what God wants, then we've missed it. And I want to be sure that I have the mind of God. And I'd like to preach to you what the Lord wants to be preached tonight. It's a little different, but I really feel it burning on my heart. If you have a Bible, 1 Kings chapter 21. I know I said that last night, but I preached a little different than what I usually do last night, and tonight's going to be a little bit different. You know, to look around, look over the congregation, you'd wonder if you got the right message, I guess you'd say. Looks like everybody here would know about what I'm preaching about tonight, but I felt in prayer, this really burned on my heart, and I really felt like God wanted to speak to us from these verses tonight. And I appreciate, I want to say before I get started, I appreciate how good you've been to me. That dinner today was wonderful, and thank you for that. And the accommodations is very nice. I appreciate it. And Brother Tommy and Sister Lisa took me out to eat last night, and I appreciate that. You've been better to me than what I deserve this couple days I've been here, and I appreciate that. I'd like to be a blessing to you. 1 Kings chapter 21. Let's start reading verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dogs shall eat. Him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, and put on sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day, but in his son's day will I bring the evil upon his house. Revelations chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her in great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Verse 21 is where I want to take my text. And I gave her space to repent. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. I'd like to preach to you if the Lord had helped me. I really need His help. I'd like to preach to you on a space called mercy. A space called mercy. Ahab and Jezebel, they lived wickedly, probably the most likely the most wicked people in the Word of God that you can research and study throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. You'll not find anyone that sold themselves to work evil more than Ahab and Jezebel did. They lived very wickedly. They was responsible for the blood of good men. Naboth had been killed by Jezebel and Ahab. And others had, and in fact, when this setting of scriptures in 1 Kings chapter 21, the first part of it is dealing with the death of Naboth. When Ahab went down to try to get the vineyard from Naboth, and Naboth wouldn't sell it to him for any price. And then at the same time, they were seeking after Elijah the prophet. They wanted him to be killed. But we find where Ahab humbled himself in the sight of God, and God showed Ahab mercy. It's a wonderful story of God's love and God's mercy, even to those that are out of the ark of safety and that are out of the keeping power of God. Yet God reaches down, and in His mercy, He gives Ahab 3 more years. It was 3 years from 1 Kings chapter 21 until Ahab decided he would go up to Ramoth-Gilead, and that's where he was killed, and the dogs licked the blood of Ahab after he was killed in the battle of Ramoth-Gilead. And God gave Jezebel, after this commandment, after God sent Elijah down to speak to them, God gave Jezebel 17 more years after that to try to get right with God. I tell you, it's a wonderful story in God's Word of the mercy that He extends day after day after day to those that are lost. And that's the reason I said what I did before we started preaching. I don't know really what it has to do with us that are sitting here. I don't know you, but I know that there is a space in everyone's life where God extends mercy and puts a little space of mercy in each of our lives. I read some time ago in some statistics that I come across that 119,520 people die lost each and every day. And as far as I know, none of them was my family. None of them was your family or our friends that were close to you. You wouldn't be here if it was tonight. I think that's mercy that has been extended in our lives because we're not worthy of it, but yet God extended mercy to our loved ones and our family and our friends and give them a chance to get right with God. One man said, although all the attributes of God are equal, mercy shines alone by itself with more brilliancy than them all. I'm thankful for mercy in my life. How about you? There's been many times where I would have been lost without God, but God extended His mercy towards me. And that's the reason I'm here to preach to you tonight, is because of His mercy. In 2 Samuel chapter number 24, David had disobeyed the Lord. He had numbered Israel. You Bible readers, you know the story, how he had numbered Israel when God told him not to. But he numbered Israel anyway, and God after that gave him 3 choices that he was to choose from. And his punishment would be one of these 3. But David's answer was, no, let us now fall into the hands of the Lord, for His mercies are great. David realized, even though he had sinned, he said, I'm not going to take any of the options, but I'd rather fall upon the mercies of God, because His mercies are great. There's been many times in my life, and I'm sure in your life, when we fell into the mercies of God, and had it not been for His mercies, we'd have been cut off. Had it not been for His love and His mercy toward us, we'd be lost without God here tonight. But because of His mercy that has been extended toward us, it's a space in our lives called mercy. Sometimes that space is a little bigger in some people's life than it is in others, but in everyone's life, there is a space called mercy, where we can get right with God, where we can get things fixed with God. David said in that great Psalm, Psalm 23, in the last verse, he said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I believe tonight that if you look on the path of every sinner, you'll see right behind them, mercy is following them. Mercy is still behind them. Mercy is still trailing them. I heard one preacher preach, his dad was lost without God. And you know the scriptures, I believe it's in Galatians where it talks about the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. and the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. I believe that's in Galatians. I may be wrong, but it talks about that, and he was preaching along those lines and telling about how his mom was saved and in the house of God, and his dad was out of the ark of safety and he was lost, and she was talking. He was talking and preaching about when his dad decided that he would go his own way and leave his mother, that man would leave his wife, leave this preacher's mother, and he would go after another woman, and it wasn't long till they got mixed up in drugs, got mixed up in alcohol, and he said, my little brother called me one day and said, Bub, Dad's been shot. He said, we went to identify the body. Dad had been shot 5 times in the face, twice in the forehead, twice, blowed out both eyes, shot his cheek off. I can't remember all the places they shot him, but they shot him 5 times in the face over a drug deal. There's been a lot of people pack their bags and walk away from mercy, but in every one of our lives, I feel like preaching, you might as well help me, in every one of our lives there has been a space extended into our life called mercy. Somewhere in your life, God has planted mercy in your pathway, somewhere along your way, God's extended mercy and put it in your life and in my life so that we can find God. Amen. I feel like preaching to you. You might as well stay with me. When you woke up this morning, you may not have realized, but when you woke up this morning, mercy walked to the foot of your bed and kissed you on the forehead and said, welcome to a new morning. We don't realize it a lot of times. We go day after day after day and never give mercy a thought. But when you woke up this morning, mercy was the first thing to greet you. Mercy was the first thing to tell you hello before you even got to your senses, before you ever realized what time it was. Mercy was standing at the foot of your bed saying, welcome to a new morning, welcome to a new day, welcome to a new chance to get right with God. Every morning when we get up, the mercies of the Lord are new. Lamentation said this, I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. What a wonderful attribute it is that God walks into every one of our lives and gives us a space called mercy. Brother Cliff, when I felt like preaching this message, I had no idea that you about run off the road and got killed last night. But I want to tell you, that was mercy. I said that was mercy. I said that was mercy. That was extended into His life. A few years ago, before I got right with God, I was driving down the Interstate 40. I went up to see Tamara. We was dating at the time. I went up to see her. I wasn't right with God. I was running from the call to preach. I was a long ways from where I needed to be. It all came back so real and so fresh when he told that testimony last night. But I fell asleep going down Interstate 40, about 85 miles an hour. I fell asleep, and from here to the back of the church, I woke up with a concrete pillar right in front of me going 85 miles an hour. My truck climbed the guardrail on its side, landed in the middle of I-40. I don't know how in this world I didn't wind up splattered against that concrete pillar, but I want you to know, when I got my right mind and came to myself, I pulled that truck over on the side of the road, and I thank God that it wasn't another preacher's boy in hell. It was mercy that was extended into my life. I said it was mercy. You might as well help me preach. It was mercy that was extended into my life. I could have woke up in hell, and the remains of me and that truck been splattered all across that bridge. But God extended mercy. I said, God extended mercy into my life. Oh, I'm so glad for mercy. I said, I'm so glad for mercy. He could have cut us off when we were lost and undone without God. There's a church about 40 minutes up the road from our church. A man came and preached a revival here not long ago. There was a lady just looked like every other lady in that church. Her hair was right. Her dress was right. She was living the standard. She was coming to church faithfully. But in that revival, that preacher preached one night. She came to the altar weeping and crying and said, I have been sitting on this church pew, backslid, lost without God. She said, I've been sitting here for years. I'm telling you what just happened right up the road this past year. I think it was back around November, October, somewhere in there. She said, I've been sitting on this church pew, lost and undone without God.
But she said, I got saved tonight. The next week they buried her. The next week they put her in a grave. I'm good friends with one of her daughters. Oh, I'm telling you, it was God's mercy. She could have died on that church pew and went to hell and nobody ever knowed it. But God sent one man with a message saying, you need to get right with God. I said, that's mercy. That's mercy. That's all it is mercy that God extends our way. A young woman, she wasn't over 40. She wasn't over 45 or maybe 50 at the most. Her daughter's about my age. I've known her for years. But God, seeing where she is at, and extended mercy just in time. Just in time. The next week she was dead and in the grave, and just in time. No sudden accident. I don't really know how she died. Just fell over dead. No real bad tragic thing other than her death. But God extended mercy into her life. God give her a chance to get right with God. There's a lady that used to go to my father-in-law's church. They changed churches. Her husband was a preacher, and they got out of church for several years. They was out of church, had once been saved and in the house of God, and for several years they was lost. And Sister Shirley Lester was going to hold a revival at my father-in-law's church several years ago. And this lady, they didn't know it, but this lady come the first Sunday night of that revival and got saved. And she said, for 2 weeks, every time I went to bed, every time I laid my head on my pillow at night, she said, for 2 weeks, I dreamed the same dream. And it was a great big door of mercy. And she said, every time I dreamed that dream, that door of mercy was almost shut. She said, for 2 weeks, God gave me the same dream every night. At the same time when I went to bed, she said, I dream of this great big door called mercy. And she said, it was almost shut. And she come to church that Sunday night and got saved and got right with God. Oh, it's mercy. It's nothing else but mercy. That is extended into mine and your lives. That gives us a chance to get right with God. Another man at my father-in-law's church. He went to church that night. He was a backslidden preacher's boy. He went to church one night. He was there when the altar call was given. Brother Anthony was preaching that revival. He was there when the altar call was given. He stood up with everybody else, and then he walked out from that altar call. He stepped out on the front porch of that church, lit up a cigarette, and God spoke to him. Said, son, I want to tell you, I'm almost through dealing with you. He turned around, threw that cigarette down, walked in and got saved. What was it? God said, I'm going to give him one more chance. I'm going to give him mercy one more time. Oh, it's of God's mercy. It's of God's mercy that we're not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. Great, great, great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, I wish we could tell every sinner the only reason you're still here is mercy's been hot on your trail. Mercy's been following you. Mercy's been tapping you on the shoulder. I'll never forget the night I was in my dad's house in my bedroom when mercy tapped me on the shoulder and give me one more chance to get right with God. I fell down beside my bed and prayed plumb through. I'm so glad for mercy. I said, I'm so glad for mercy. It's been following you. I don't know who you are, but it's been following you. It's been paying you a visit, and you're here tonight because mercy has been on your trail. Every other God, you study every other religion. You study every other religion and every other God, so-called God, is a God of anger and a God of wrath. It's just waiting to pound somebody over the head with a big stick. Just waiting to put somebody down with judgment. But Micah said, who is a God like unto thee? I'm talking about our God. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth. I said he delighteth in mercy. The word of God said, because he delighteth in mercy. That's the kind of God that we're serving. He could cut us off. He could cut us off without a space to repent. But he delighteth. I said he delighteth in mercy. You might as well help me for just a few more minutes. He delighteth in mercy. He retaineth not his anger forever. I didn't write it down, but the prophet went on to say, he will turn again. He will have compassion. And he will subdue our iniquities. He will turn again. Aren't you glad for a God like that? He's angry. angry with the wicked every day. And he could just cut them off. He could just kick them into a devil's hell. But instead, he delighteth in mercy. And that's why we're here tonight. That's the only reason we're here. It's because he delighteth. It's because he delighteth in mercy. But in order to preach mercy to you, I got to tell you that that space always, always runs out after a while. That space always runs out after a while. Brother Glenn, I read in Psalms 136. It's good to see you here. I should have mentioned it earlier. I'm glad you're here. He's a good friend of mine. I love him and respect him. But I read in Psalms 136, where the mercies of the Lord endureth. How long? Forever. The mercies of the Lord endureth forever. Now how can you say they endure forever and then still say that mercy runs out after a while? Because to commit sin, because mercy abounds, is the devil's logic. That's the way the devil thinks. To commit sin because there is mercy is the devil's logic. He that sins because of God's mercy shall have judgment without mercy. Mercy is not for them that sin and fear not, but mercy is for them that fear and sin not. You see, after mercy has been extended time and time again, it emboldens one to feel like they can keep on sinning and mercy will never run out. But there's a space called mercy. There's just a little space. God said, I give her space to repent. But she repented not. Therefore, I had to cut her off. I had to cut her off. That's the sad thing about mercy, is God injects it into every one of our lives. But after a while, it runs out because we don't take heed to mercy. Nothing emboldens sin so much as mercy. Nothing causes sin to flash its ugly head in rebellion as much as mercy does. The great preacher in Ecclesiastics said, and I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And you can probably quote the rest of it. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil because they're not cut off quickly. Because judgment is not passed speedily. Because God brings mercy time and time again. We've watched them sit on the church pew and they get up and walk out thinking there'll be another day of mercy. But I want to tell you, as much as I'd like to tell you, I can't tell you that every prodigal is going to come back home. I can't tell you that every lost and undone that undone prodigal is going to get right with God because there's a space called mercy that a lot of them's not taking heed to. There's a space called God's mercy that a lot of them go right on and feel like they can go on without it. A young man that I'm good friends with got married a girl out of our church. They got mixed up in drugs. They got mixed up in alcohol. Her mom begged her not to marry that boy. Her dad begged her not to marry that boy because he had been out and he wasn't really back in when she married him. My dad begged and pleaded with him, please, please don't. Please don't. And it's a halfway good ending because one night on a Wednesday night, she come in the back door. I preached that night. She didn't come to the altar. But as we was closing out the service, some of the young people were singing while the altar call was going on. And she broke down, started weeping, came to the altar and said, I've got to get right with God. She prayed through. But he's still out there. And unless there's a divine miracle from heaven, he's going to be lost without God. Because he's blowed his mind on drugs. I've went to his house. I've tried to talk to him. I've tried to reason with him. I've tried to tell him, you got to get right with God. He sat there in his driveway. He was high on drugs when I was talking to him. He sat there in his driveway and tried to tell me that he was right with God. I said, Brandon, you're losing your mind. You've got to come to your senses. You've got to realize that God's mercy ain't going to last forever. God's mercy is not always going to be extended. But it seems like because they've seen mercy in the past, they feel like they can go right on. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I've got to preach to you and tell you that mercy ain't always going to be in your life. There's going to come a time when mercy's going to stop and you're going to go on without it. And dear God, when that happens, all hell, I don't say that lightly, but all hell is going to break loose when you go on without mercy. Oh my, oh my, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They'd sat there on a Sunday night service. They had heard the songs of Zion, but yet they went right on. They knew what it was like to be in church. They knew what it was like to feel the power of God, but yet they went right on, thinking that mercy would always be there. And the preacher said, I saw him buried. I saw him buried. I saw him cut off, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. His mind was made up to go right on. And he forgot that mercy don't always follow you forever. Though it endureth forever, it don't always follow forever, because God injects into our life just a space called mercy. Brother Glenn, there's a young preacher. I started preaching about the same time he did. I hope the Holy Ghost will help me to preach the rest of this. I started preaching about the same time he did. And we begin to see, me and my wife begin to see things wasn't right. Trouble was in the home. Things wasn't going just right. They were dear friends of ours. We stayed with them lots of times. They stayed with us. His wife got mixed up with another man. It tore our hearts out. But it looked like he was gonna hold on for a while. But he finally went as far as he could go. And he just dropped it. He just dropped it. God had helped that young man as much as any young preacher I'd seen. He just dropped it. They're long, 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 long ways from God tonight. You say, what happened? Mercy was right there. Mercy was knocking on their heart's door. I was there when the preacher preached right before she quit. He preached straight to her. He preached straight to her. He read her life story right down to the last chapter. And he told her, you better get right with God. But she walked out. She walked out. And hell broke loose in their lives. How come? Because they let mercy go one way and they went another. Oh, I hope the Lord will help me preach to you tonight. Oh, I hope the Lord will help me. They went one way and mercy went another. And now they're a long ways from God tonight. And we could talk about case after case after case after case where we've seen mercy go one way, and some people go another way. But I tell you, there's nothing better than to let mercy have his way in your life. When mercy's following you, you better sit down and have a visit with him. You better sit down and talk things over. As long as mercy's following you, you better take heed to what God has to say. 17 years later, Jehu came riding up on his chariot and said, is anybody on the Lord's side? Three men stuck their head out the window. They said, cast her down. And the prophecy came true. The dogs ate the body of Jezebel. They left the head in the palms of her hands. But God, when everything was through and the dogs had finished licking their chops, God said, I remember the blood of Naboth as it were yesterday. Although God has mercy, one of these days judgment's going to ride up. And mercy is going to be done away with. And judgment is going to have something to say. Amen. 17 long years later, God said, I give her space to repent. I injected mercy into her life. But yet she went on her way. She went right down on her own pathway. She followed after the lust of her own heart. After she seen what happened to Ahab, she went right on. And God said, I remember the blood of Naboth as it were yesterday. Friend, I want to tell you something. The only reason you're here is because of mercy. The only reason our nation is still where it is because God's extended mercy. Oh, if it wasn't for mercy, our nation would be cut off. I said our nation would be cut off. But God has extended mercy. I believe He gave us a wake-up call a little over a year ago. But we've still, a lot of people went right on their same pathways. And God's allowed mercy to follow us thus far. But what's going to happen, Brother Hank, when mercy stops following? I wonder what's going to happen when mercy stops following. Brother Tommy, I believe when mercy stops following, things are going to happen just like you preached this morning. When mercy stops following us, all hell's going to break loose. I'd like to take heed when mercy's here. On a Sunday night, when it looks like everybody's saved, there's somebody here, I really believe. God's trying to give you a message about mercy has followed you thus far. Stand with me. It's in your hands. It's in your hands now. Mercy's followed you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it now? It's followed you up to this service. What are you going to do with it? The preacher said, "And I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone. They frequented the house of God. They was there. They was there. They saw the wonderful acts of God. They saw the blessings of God. They saw what God could do in the life of someone that would give Him full control." Oh, I really feel like God's wanting to help somebody tonight. They saw what God could do in the life of someone that would come to the altar and give God a chance. But yet they walked out and God said, "I saw him buried." The preacher said, "I saw him buried. They come and gone from the place of the holy. But because sentence against an evil work was not executed speedily, their heart was fully set." I read in Proverbs about that young man. I believe it's Proverbs 7. He went down to her corner. He went down to her house. She said, "The good one of the house is gone. Come, let us make love until the morning." And then she caught him in that snare. You know the story. And those darts struck through his liver. Those darts struck through him. That young man, I had a question. What was he doing at her corner? What was he doing on her street? What was he doing down there? I believe he kissed mercy goodbye. Said, "I'm going to have my own fun for just a little while. I'm going to have my time for just a little while. I'm going to enjoy sin for that season." But he didn't realize that mercy left him at the corner. And he died. Oh, it's the story of many. He died. A preacher told about a young girl. Lives right up there by us. Told about a young girl. Evidently went to her church. His church. She decided she was going to fly to Florida for a weekend. She was just going to have a good old time. Oh, God. She was going to enjoy the pleasure of sin for one weekend. Then she'd come back and get right with God. She didn't realize when she got on that airplane, mercy left her. She flew down to Florida, going to spend the weekend down there, just have a good time on the beach. She met a young man down there. He wined her and dined her all weekend. She got ready to fly back that Monday. He said, "I want to meet you at the airport." She said, "Okay, that'll be fine." They got to the airport. It's a true story. They got to the airport. He gave her a little box, kissed her goodbye, said, "Don't open this box until you get in the airplane and get into the air." The little box was wrapped in pretty paper. She got on the airplane, boarded the plane, got on, flew, was flying, got up in the air, decided she'd open that little box. Inside that little box that was wrapped in such pretty paper was a little bitty coffin. She flipped the lid on that coffin, pulled out a little note. I'm talking about a holiness girl that decided she'd go on her own for just a little while. She flipped open that little coffin, and inside was a note that said, "Welcome to the world of AIDS." She didn't realize when she got on that plane that mercy stopped. She didn't realize when she boarded that aircraft and sailed to Florida to have a good time that mercy stopped right there. And now she's got to live with that for the rest of her life. however short it might be now. I want to tell you something. If you walk away from mercy, great God, I feel like preaching the rest of this to you. If you walk away from mercy, there's no telling what the end of your fate may be when you walk away from mercy. I'd rather preach to you something else. But God said, you better tell them there's a space called mercy. And if they walk outside of that space called mercy, there's no telling what might come their way. Cliff, I want to tell you something. It was the Lord's mercy. I know you're right with God, but it was the Lord's mercy that we wasn't having a funeral today instead of a good weekend. It was of the Lord's mercy. But if you choose to walk away from God's mercy, there is no telling what the end of your life may be like. It don't matter. It don't matter if you walk away from a good church. It don't matter if you walk away from a good family. It don't matter what your past has been. When you walk away from mercy, you open the door to whatever the devil's got for your life. It's a dangerous thing. I wish you'd hear it tonight. It's a dangerous thing to walk away from mercy. Somebody get us a song. I want to make an altar call if it's all right, Brother Tommy. I feel like God's been speaking to your heart. Oh, I feel like the Lord's been speaking to your heart. Would you bow your head with me tonight? Oh, I feel like the Lord's been talking to somebody. I don't know who you are, but oh, you better take heed when mercy. Well, you better take heed when mercy walks into your life. You better take heed while there's a space called mercy. Because if you walk out of that space called mercy, there's no telling what God. There's no telling what God will let cross your pathway. There was an elderly man that went to our church. Good man, a great man. Great man, a great prayer warrior. He died a few years ago. But he was in a service. One of our deacons was in church. He wasn't right with God at the time. Our deacon just told it just a few nights ago. He said the preacher preached that night, and our deacon said, I was just a young boy, and I walked out of that service. He said that elderly man followed me out, tapped me on the shoulder, said, why won't you pray? I don't remember his excuse. But that elderly man looked at him in the face, said, son, I want to tell you something. He said, a few years ago, I turned God down at the altar. And he said, for 17 years, God never dealt with my heart again. He said, for 17 years, I'd wake up in my bed. He said, I'd be dreaming that I was running to the door of mercy. And right before I got there, he said, every time that door would slam shut, and I'd be left outside the door of mercy. And he said, for 17 years, God never dealt with me. And he said, one day, God decided to talk to me one more time. And he said, I got in. But he said, son, if you walk away from this service tonight, and you don't get right with God, mercy may have visited you for the last time. Our deacon, he said, I turned around, walked back into that altar, and got right with God. But friend, what will happen tonight if you walk away from mercy? What will happen tonight if you walk away from mercy? You're only promised one chance, and after that, it's mercy. I'd sure hate it tonight if you walked out and mercy never paid you another visit. I'd sure hate it if you walked out those double doors and mercy left you alone for years and years and years. There's only one thing that I can think of worse than dying lost without God, and that is to live for years and years and years and mercy never pay you another visit, and the dealings of God never come your way again. Oh, church, I hope you'll help me pray. I feel like someone needs this. What's it going to be like if you walk away tonight and mercy stops following you? I'm not trying to scare you, but this is what the Lord spoke to me, Brother Tommy. What's going to happen if tonight that space of mercy closes and that door of mercy slams shut? What's going to happen in your life? Oh, I wish you'd hear it tonight. What's going to happen when mercy stops following you? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give you a chance to pray. Y'all sing when you're ready.
Don't let that door.
Oh, don't let that door shut.
Door of mercy close on.
Please don't let that door of mercy shut.
Don't let that door.
Oh, please.
Of mercy. blessing.
Time is swiftly passing. Life will soon be through. Please don't let it.
Of mercy close.
While they sing, would you come tonight? I don't know who you are, but would you come?
Don't let that door of mercy.
Oh, please don't let it close on you. Please don't let that door close on you.
Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Life will soon.
So swiftly our lives come to a close. James said our life is as a vapor. It appears for just a little bit and passeth away. But while there's still time, while there's still time, would you come? Would you let mercy come your way one more time?
Mercy's door is open wide.
God bless these that are come, that are coming. Would you come?
Jesus says.
All right, church, let's go. Everyone that will, find your place. Pray with these that have come.
Come and live forever.
Oh, come while mercy is still knocking at your heart's
enter
door.
While you
please come while there's still mercy.
That door.
Please don't let that door of mercy close on you.
Mercy close on you.
Oh, let's pray, church.
Don't let that door.
Don't let mercy close on you.
Have mercy close on you.
Please don't let mercy close on you.
Don't let that door. Have mercy close on you.
While there's still an opportunity, please get right with God.
Life is swiftly passing. Life will soon.
Oh, please, would you come tonight?
Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Time is swiftly passing. Life will soon be through. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Mercy's door is open wide today. Says there is no other way. Come and live forever. Enter while you may. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Time is swiftly passing. Life will soon be through. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. While there's still time, make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew His plan for you, you wouldn't wait or hesitate while there's still time. While there's still time, make make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew His plans for you, you wouldn't wait or hesitate while there's still time. Tomorrow's just on credit. There's no guarantee on life. You could be gone in a moment. When your time comes to die, you also know that Christ is coming. And if you're left behind, how your wish for a little bit more time. While there's still time, make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew His plan for you, you wouldn't wait or hesitate while there's still time. If you're saved, then you're invited to spread the news around to all your friends and those you've loved so much. That time is running out. Oh, just you listen to His tender voice. He's calling to your heart. Draw closer to me, child, while there's still time. While there's still time, make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew His plans for you, you wouldn't wait or hesitate while there's still time. While there's still time, make up your mind. You can't be happy living on the borderline. If you only knew His plan for you, hesitate while there's still time. Tomorrow's just on credit. There's no guarantee on life. You could be gone in a moment. When your time comes to die, you also know that Christ is coming. And if you're left behind, how your wish for a little bit more time.